Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. You've got your 10 minutes with Jesus, and we continue our look at Philippians chapter 2. Yesterday we looked at Philippians chapter 2, especially the first part, the first half, up and through the humiliation of Jesus Christ. And if you remember, that wasn't talking about embarrassment, that was really talking about humbling, where Jesus humbled himself for you and for me, and he willingly refrained from using his divine power, glory, and honor for his own benefit. So we're going to pick it up in verse 5 if you're following along in your paper Bible, and we'll go through verse 18 today. And today we'll especially look at the exaltation of Jesus Christ. So beginning in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Indeed, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that though he was by nature God, he did not consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed, but he emptied himself by taking the nature of a servant. When he was born in human likeness, and his appearance was like that of any other man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only when I was with you, but also now much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In fact, it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work, for the sake of his good pleasure. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without blemish, among a crooked and perverted generation. You shine among them like lights in the world, and as you hold on to the word of life, that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I continue to be glad and rejoice with you all. In the same way, also be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of our God. So yesterday we talked about the first portion of Christ's earthly ministry, when the eternal Son of God took on flesh within the womb of the Virgin Mary, and that moment his life began there, and the moment of incarnation was the beginning of the humiliation portion of his ministry. And it's not associated with the human nature, because Jesus is exalted and still retains his human nature now. But the humiliation, not talking about embarrassment, we're talking about Jesus refraining and Jesus not using the divine power, glory, and honor that always have been his from eternity and always will be his for eternity. And the way I like to summarize that sometimes is that Jesus basically hides the fact that he is God. If he had walked around the earth with his with all of his divine glory and power and honor, then people wouldn't have been able to approach him. Then Almighty God would not have been able to dwell among his people. But he refrained from using those things. He refrained from using that for his own benefit, instead choosing to allow himself to be arrested, choosing to allow himself to suffer and to be hungry, to be needing, you know, the support of his followers, to not have a place to lay his head, to be, you know, to go through all the everyday aspects of human life in a world of sin and death and pain. And Paul says, if you remember the application from yesterday, that is the exact example that Paul has for your life and mine, that our lives as Christians will necessarily echo and imitate the life of Christ, that the suffering and the humbling and the humiliation, not embarrassment, but the being humble and perhaps being, you know, carrying one's cross, that happens, and that takes place before the glory. And so now, on this side of heaven and on this side of Judgment Day, now is the time of humble and faithful service, even if it means, and especially because it will mean, suffering for the sake of Christ. And it definitely will mean that. Even if you and I as Christians don't always see what it is that we are suffering, at the same time, you as a Christian do undergo And you do experience things that a non-Christian won't, even down to the everyday denial of temptation. That you have that internal struggle against sin that the unbeliever really knows nothing about. He or she might experience the effects of sin. They might, you know, kind of learn the school of hard knocks and learn to avoid a particular activity. They might set up barriers of the law, but it is all bound by the law. It is all a system of merits, of either the carrot or the stick, of enticement and reward for doing something well, or a punishment or a painfulness from doing something not well or improperly. And where are we going with that? That basically that is our life as a Christian now, that we refrain and we are in this daily struggle against sin. But then Paul goes on to say that verse 9 and following, therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This Jesus Christ, who is faithful even to the point of death, who is faithful to suffering unjustly at the hands of others, and to the point of being crucified as a common criminal, and having God desert him entirely, as he bowed his head to the will of God, that faithfulness to the will of God was resulted in a glorification. The humiliation is echoed by the exaltation. The time when Jesus refrained from using his divine power, glory, and honor is now mirrored by the time, beginning with his coming alive again within the tomb, vivification, when he came alive again, really, and then he descended into hell, and he ascended into, well, he showed himself to his followers, and he ascends into heaven, and has all authority and power and on earth, and he uses all of this authority for your good and mine. And basically, you know, in this time of exaltation, Jesus, again, makes full and frequent use of his divine power, glory, and honor, if you want to put it like that. Or if you put it another way, he rightfully brags about the fact that he's God, and he makes full use of that. So that Paul says, at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow. What a strong statement that every person, every enemy of God, every believer, every angel in heaven, every demon below will bow before our Jesus, because he has won and he has demonstrated his power. And that power is seen today, but yes, in a humble way, where just as Jesus hid his divine power, glory, and honor, he hid the fact that he was God. So also now, even within his church, his glory is revealed, but it's still a hidden glory. That glory is hidden underneath, you know, spoken word, hidden underneath the sacraments. That glory of God is. And so what we have is this Jesus, who is both true God and true man. He has been through every bit of suffering and pain, and God has exalted him now so that he resumes all of, you know, the full and frequent use of all of his divine power and glory and honor for your good and mine. And so Paul makes this application. Verse 12, so then, as a result of this, with this in mind, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We ought to find ourselves in the most humble and respectful of places before our Lord when we consider the fact that he has undergone every bit of suffering, that even though he has all authority and power, which he never gave up, he stopped using it for a while in order to follow God's will. And we should expect the same. We should expect the same sort of suffering, perhaps, in following God's will, with the promise that at the end of time, that the glory will come, that the glory will be later. But now is the time of humbling. Now is the time of struggle against temptation. Now is the time of struggle against sin. Sometimes we refer to that as, you know, the fact that there's one church, and in two aspects. The church militant, which is the church fighting against sin and false teaching here on earth, and the church triumphant, which is the believers in heaven right now. There is one church. We are absolutely perfectly united in faith, just that we here on earth are still struggling against sin, and those in heaven have no more struggle and no more crying and no more pain. And so Paul makes some applications from that idea of sacrificing oneself in service to the will of God and in service to others. Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing, and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is God who is working in you, by the way, so that you can be blameless and pure, children of God, without blemish, among a crooked and perverted generation, that the Christian should not be shocked when his or her life is lampooned or ridiculed, or the Christian suffers for the sake of following Jesus. Don't be surprised at that. That's exactly what we should expect as people who follow the Word of God. Hold on to the Word of life and shine like a light in the world. And Paul says, in the same way, because of this, rejoice and be glad. To think of that. Paul could have pointed to himself as an example, and he perhaps did a little bit in chapter 1 when he talked about the fact that he didn't know whether he would live or die or whatever the outcome of his imprisonment would be. But he lifts their eyes above his own example that they would be able to dismiss, and he lifts their eyes to the example of Jesus Christ, who suffered everything, who bowed his head to the will of God, who willingly underwent all sorts of pain in order to proclaim the truth of God, and in order to hold fast to the will of God. And so also you. You know that your suffering now is not in vain. You know that your work here is not without point and purpose. You know that your Lord is watching over everything, and that He will glorify you on that day when there will be no more mourning or crying or pain, and you will join that great triumphant multitude forever. You can find us Wednesday evenings, 7 p.m., and Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. If you're a little bit outside of our commutable distance, then be sure to check out the link in our show notes, yearbook.wells.net, in order to find a church nearby. And if you are on social media, check us out at Resurrection Maumee on Facebook or at Raised with Jesus on Instagram and Twitter. God bless your day.